Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into it. From Costello on Fox, Last Comic Standing, the fighter. She was the fighter. Sue Costello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for having me back.
A great comic, tough crowd, of course.
Oh, boy. All of them.
Yeah.
Everything. I've been around the boys forever.
You've been a comedian for, we're going on 30 years, right?
30 years.
You still love it.
I love it more now than I've ever loved it.
Oh, my God. Is this what love is?
Mm-hmm. People say that to me. They're like, Sue, you've been treated like such shit. You have to love comedy. Right?
But Sue was on Keith and the Girl once before. This was back. You know how long ago this was?
How long? Because I got such a good I mean, your listeners were like amazing.
They enjoyed you.
They were amazing.
6.5 years ago.
Wow. Really? What happened? Did I do something wrong?
No, I'm just bringing it up. January 25th, 2013. You can hear the episode. It's called, it's number 1,713.
What the fuck?
We're in 3,000s now. It's called Don't Look at Keith. You'll get everything right there. I follow you on social media, of course.
Yes.
And you are on fire. Recently,
oh my gosh.
You ran into Chemda in the city and you're like, listen to what I got going on in my life.
30 years are like finally coming together. It's literally a testament of don't ever quit.
Okay.
It's like a human story where you're like, don't ever quit.
I'm going to hear all about it. And I want you to know that you're not the only one on fire today. Chemda had to yell at people right outside her house this very morning.
Good.
But she normally doesn't do that.
I know. I like it. Yeah. I like it. I support her in that. Good.
Thank you.
Good. I want you to do stand-up. You know that. I'm going to do a show here in Queens, and we're going to have you on stage.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
It's happening.
It's great only comedians do that, though, not doctors. You know what, Keith? You care about the human body. Tomorrow,
don't
surgery.
Look at me while you're saying that.
So what happens this morning?
So I'm in the shower and I hear stuff outside. There's a lot of stuff going out outside, like general construction, and also the next door neighbors have this he's drunk constantly. This drunk guy painting their fence and blah blah blah. Sometimes he tries to talk. So I hear someone try to, like, I think say something, but you never know. There's a lot of construction people yelling at each other. And also I'm in the shower. I'm in the shower. The window is totally open because my backyard is private. But all of a sudden, I see grown men jumping over the fence into my backyard.
Wow.
You can see absolutely. And my shower curtain is half clear. So, like, you can see me in the thing. And I know they saw me because I know, like, you can't help but turn your head to an open window. And I'm like, I'm naked. And now Xerxes is in the house. And I don't know if to be like, Xerxes, people are coming in, because I don't want them to hear me, right? So I open the door. I'm like leaning out of the shower, completely wet, open the door, and I go.
Inside your house?
Inside my house. I'm soaped up. Otherwise, I would have just, you know, jumped out. And so I'm trying to, like, clean myself. I open the door and I just say, Xerxes. And he's like, what? And I'm like, never say what when I call your name. Just start coming.
Right.
You know what I mean? When do I go, Xerxes?
Right. My music teacher said, when I say jump, you don't say how high. You jump. Then we figure out the rest.
But, you know,
I'm still stuck on her telling them to come right away. I'm like, this sounds sexual. I'm all soaked up. I'm naked. I'm telling them to come right away. I'm like, I'm getting turned on. I'm already turned on by this whole story. Okay.
Yeah, so the thing that he thought was happening is I need a towel or something. So he's coming down. But then I'm like, no, I need more urgency. And I'm like, Xerxes, like, how do I go? Like, I'm in need of help.
Right. You need a code for...
Yeah.
Eavesdroppers.
Safe word.
Yeah. I need, like, some sort of, like, my parents used to have this word, tenemaka. It means nothing, but it meant something to them. What it meant to them is, your kids are annoying me, so you hold on to them for a little while. So I would go up to my father and say, Mom says she needs tenemaka, and he knows, like, keep them around.
Right.
So I'm like, Xerxes, there are men in the backyard. And then by the time he hears that, he's down. He's naked. We just did some shit. He's naked.
I knew this was a horny story. I knew it. I could feel it in my gut.
Sue's been around.
30 years I've been around. I don't miss a trick.
And now, so as soon as you come down off the bed, you could see the backyard also. So there's men looking at him naked too now. And so he throws on some clothes. And then, but by then, he comes in first to close the, because I'm like, the shower window and whatever. So he comes in to close the shade. By then, I scrub the soap off so fast. I grab my towel and in my head, I'm like, I am going to lose my shit. Is it okay that I lose my shit? Like, because I'm trying not to like,
When people jump your fence, I think you're allowed to lose your shit, right?
Yeah, but I'm trying to see if like there's ever a need to lose your shit, you know? But I'm
when
like,
people jump your fence.
That's what
but
I'm
as
thinking.
A, but it's funny, the whole time you're talking, I'm thinking, as a woman, this triggers a lot. So it triggers a lot. So then the level of rage that comes out tends to be from lots of trauma.
But
and so how do we speak up without being, because also they don't listen to you when you're in a rage. They love when you're in a rage because then they can just go, you're a bitch, you're
But also nobody listens to you when you're in a rage. And no, I don't want to be in a rage. But I'm already like, I was fucking naked while men were like literally jumping into my backyard and I'm watching them, you know? And I'm like, these are big grown men. There's three of them. So as he's closing the window, I put on my towel robe thing and I opened the door and I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Did you just jump my fucking fence while I'm in the shower? Do you think this is okay to just be here? And I'm like, this is definitely losing my shit. And then, and Xerxes comes in, he like, never interrupts when I'm in an argument with someone and never like he's very high aware of like the sexist aspect of like, let me speak for you or even like interject to say that you can't do it. But at the same time, I'm like losing my shit. And he goes, he's so calm yet like not aggressive, but like in their face. Let me get all of your names and all of your numbers. And what is the number for the work order that you're, I want the work order number. I want all of your individual numbers.
So what are these, like
numbers.
Con Ed guys?
It's Verizon men. They go, as soon as I go, what the fuck is wrong with you? And shit like that. They're like, we're just doing our job. And I'm like, oh no, you didn't.
Gaslight.
Yeah, I'm like, you're just doing your job. You don't think I have a doorbell? Fucking ring my doorbell. I know you didn't ring my doorbell. Why? You just jump into somebody's backyard. They're like, so we just, all we know is we're just doing our job. We're allowed to be here.
And we're allowed.
Shit like that. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying not to black out from the stupidity. And so he chimes
every
in
day
and,
of our lives.
And I walked.
Did you say every day of our lives?
Right, exactly. So I'm like, they already have their story. Their story is they have permission from somebody to jump my fucking fence.
Right.
Whatever permission that is. You feel like even if you have permission.
Ma'am, 14th Amendment.
Right. Like you just, no matter what permission you got, don't you know that like you should feel uncomfortable right now? Like I'm in my robe, like wet still, you know, like. So then Xerxes starts talking. I'm like, I'm going to walk away because this doesn't need to be escalated and I'm already livid and I don't want to even like be in this space. So he's
ma'am,
like,
ma'am.
Yeah.
We're Verizon. A telephone is what we use to communicate with each other. And it's not all cell phones for everybody, ma'am.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
There's wires we have to
start
get
with
to.
The ma'am too, because they know that goes right up your back.
So then they go.
Meanwhile, they're trying to peek at your sexy body. And then they're like, ma'am. They're like, oh, now I'm ma'am? Now that I have my robe on, I'm ma'am? Okay.
It's my smaller one. So I'm like, please don't let my cooch hang out. Please don't let my cooch hang out.
Respect me. Oops, sorry. There's my Cujo. Cujo, get back in. I'm trying to be a feminist. Get back in.
So they start going like.
You're hanging out, ma'am. Ma'am.
Look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. Ma'am, I'm sorry, but don't overtalk me. Ma'am, but I'm sorry, but don't talk over me.
Exactly. So they start in with that. And then when Xerxes comes, they're like, we could leave. You want us to leave? And Xerxes is like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. And I'm like, holy shit.
Right.
And I just walk away because I'm like, you know what? It doesn't need to be two of us. And I'd rather start calming down. And he's like really good at this. He's really good at like not escalating it more, but really being firm. And he's just like, get the fuck out. I want your numbers. I'm going to meet you out front. He went to meet them out front. He's like, I'm still not wearing underwear. But he's like,
and even though he's pretty passive, he's a big looking guy too. Like he has a big beard. He has a belt about him.
Yeah, he's 6'2". So like, the thing is he's got like a very pothead vibe, like very mellow, very whatever. But when he walks down the street, like you don't know that because all you see is like a 6'2", you know, whatever math guys do, it happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So anyway, I just calm down and while he's in the front taking their number, like their whatever badge number is supposed to be, whatever order number. Turns out my landlord gave them the okay to go in the back if no one's home or whatever. I don't know if like if no one's home or anything, but I'm like, so the first thing you do is jump a fence.
Right.
Yes, but I you're shocked, but I'm like, yeah, that yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole story you're telling right now is literally reflective of what's the, that was like a microcosm of the macrocosm of what's going on in the world right now. Like
and nobody knows what they're doing. Yeah.
Nobody knows what they're doing. Like even your boyfriend, right?
Yeah.
Your boyfriend's like, I don't know when to step in, when not to step in. And then the guy's like, what are you talking about? I've always done this. And you're like, don't stop doing it. We're sick of it. We've had it. Cut it out. And they're like, okay, lady. All right. Okay. What? No one has any idea. Like you have to talk through it now because no, it's everything's changed.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Like you don't know where the feminist lines are, like when you're supposed to be enraged, what anger is, whatever. But you know what? I found it today and it was a good place to be mad. and I calmed down. It was just... It's just that you're naked and people are jumping your fence. I'm just how do I calm down from this? How do I calm down? A coffee and a spliff.
ma'am, our goal today wasn't to wake up in the morning, right? Ma'am, and catch you naked in your shower. That wasn't our goal.
Down.
Ma'am, we didn't call each other on the phone and go, let's go to the Middle Eastern's house and see if we can catch her naked by accident as if we know your house layout. Ma'am.
Ma'am, I think you're discriminating against me.
Right?
I'm feeling discriminated against.
We're still not sure that you are the only woman with a bush in New York City, but you might be.
Ma'am, I know somebody that could take care of it. We're going to go. But I know a hedge guy.
They probably walked away like, what do we do? What happened? I don't even know what I did wrong.
They're still walking the streets because they didn't get a paper signed.
They're like, what? We're jumping over any more fences. Now we can't even jump over fences. Can't do anything nowadays, these fucking broads. Now I can't even jump over fences. I used to be able to jump over fences freely.
Your landlord's like, Verizon, you didn't fix our phone service.
Right.
Yeah. I was trying to jump the fence, right?
No, the landlord was like, get in there and get them out of there. Go bother her when she's naked. Get them out of there.
I got to raise rent.
I got to raise the rent.
Holy shit. I tell you, I have this. This is an ad, but it's true, and I use it. The Ring video doorbell.
I'm putting it in my back door now.
Yeah. Put it on your house, and you see outside what's going on no matter where you are, whether you're home or not. I love it. This thing paid for itself the very first day I put it on. Absolute true story. This delivery guy comes over, and you know he's supposed to knock, see if you're there. Period. I feel like it had to be more complicated than that.
Not jump the fence, just ring the bell.
Ring the bell. He doesn't ring the bell, but my Ring thing shows me that somebody's at my door. And he tries to like quietly put the sticker on saying, oh, looks like I missed you because it was a heavy box. And I saw it and I said through the doorbell, I was at work. And I go, leave the fucking package. He goes, goes back, leaves the package. Piece of shit.
He didn't want to carry the package.
Yeah.
So
he's just going to put a sticker and then hope the next guy has to deal with it. And he doesn't have to carry a heavy box one more place.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I caught him and he's like, okay.
Can you
if
imagine?
I should.
I have that at my front door, but imagine I had that in my back door today. Like watching guys jump my fence and just going, is this normal?
Right.
Just here, YouTube. Is this normal?
Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safe, especially when you're showering with your window open.
After sex.
You might already know about their smart video doorbells and cameras that protect millions of people everywhere. Ring helps you stay connected in your home anywhere in the world. So if there's a package delivery or a surprise visitor jumping your backside,
I got some privacy.
You'll get an alert and be able to see, hear, and speak to them. All from your phone, and it's even user-friendly for ma'ams.
Huh. Ma'am.
Yeah. Thanks to the HD video and two-way audio features on Ring devices. All right. As a listener, you have a special offer on a Ring starter kit available right now. With a video doorbell and motion-activated floodlight cam, the starter kit has everything you need to start building a ring of security around your home. Just go to ring.com/KATG. That's ring.com/KATG.
But when I heard of this technology, I'm thinking like, because, you know, we grew up in the 80s, so it's like, this is going to be thousands of dollars. It is so not. Yeah. It reminded me of when, like, after like 20 years of having a TV, and I was like, I have a big fat TV, but it's like going to shit now. I go to the store and I'm like, oh, what am I going to have to pay for one of these flat screens, you know? And I'm there and I'm just like, they're all flat screen and they cost $100 or $200. Yeah. Oh, shit.
You don't have to buy them. You can actually take last year's model from their garbage in the back of the store.
Nobody gives a shit.
No. Look at me. Well, I'm jumping the fence and getting out. I'll be like, excuse me, ma'am.
Sir.
But, sir, calm down, sir.
Yeah, but it was like that.
I'm flashing my bush. No, stop, Sue. Stop.
And when I went to Ring's website, I was like, oh, right, I'm old. Like, you know, like, right, technology, we have cameras are everywhere. So it's not like this technology is going to cost me a lot. Ring is like really affordable.
I think the government should know about this. When you see those cameras, we were talking about this the other day, but when you see a crime happen in the street and there's no sound and it's barely black and white.
They're like, you only see like every other movement. Like,
yeah, I see this jerk off in color not giving me my package. I'm in HD. Anyway, it's ring.com/KATG. All right. Hemda got one of those reminders on Facebook today. Congratulations, you were engaged back in 2013.
Motherfucker.
And all the likes you get for being engaged. You don't get it, you know?
I was like, hey, I biked, you know, 20 miles on Saturday. Everyone's like, I guess we like that. No, fuck. Like, I got surgery a month ago.
Like, humble brag, humble brag, humble brag, humble brag. Right. You're like, no, I literally couldn't move my leg and I biked. No, I'm not humble bragging. I'm actually trying to stay alive here. Humble brag.
But if you're engaged, that's something we can understand. Congrats. Oh,
come over to the dark side. We will like that. We will love that. We will even comment.
Had to mention how Facebook gives it a blue flag for a memory, but there should be like a divorce one. I got divorced. White flag.
They'd have to have 50% of each or 51% of each, right? It's 50% ending.
But everybody who liked my engagement 6 years ago, you all owe me a like. So go to any one of my walls on any one of my platforms, hit like three different likes to make up for my divorce. That's right. For my mistake, please. I just don't want to see that.
Right. You do have to know, right. It's like you're co-signing in a way when you hit like.
Yeah.
You liked it so much. Where are you now?
Yeah.
But and that's very funny. Like the manageable jealousy. Like how much jealousy. Like I don't have a lot of jealousy for her getting engaged, but if she rides a bike 20 miles, forget about it. I'm having alligator arms. I'm not touching that like. Like who, how jealous am I?
I'm thinking about, you know, ZipRecruiter. How about ZipRecruiter for dates? Like you put your information out there and you wait and they find a qualified candidate in a day.
I will host interviews like crazy. Oh, wait, no, I have a boyfriend. I mean, Sue will host.
What do I have to do?
All I know is that ZipRecruiter...
As long as he doesn't call me ma'am.
ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. They don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. Listen to this. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. So no, they don't use it when it comes to love, but they do use it when it comes to your business.
And you're in your business for like most of your life.
Right.
Like and love is a business, so they should have one for business.
You're right. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter, ready for this, for free. Here's the address, ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. One more time, ZipRecruiter.com/KATG. It's the smartest way to hire.
Do I say it funny, ZipRecruiter?
You say it fine.
Okay. I feel like my foreign comes out. ZipRecruiter.com/KATG.
You know what? I think when you get to the CR in Recruiter, it finishes it. That's what I'm going to guess. That's ZipRecruiter. That's when you know it's popular. All right, let's get to Sue. Let's get to this, what I'm seeing on social.
Yeah, when are we going
to
talk about me?
Oh, my God. Don't you worry. We're talking about you,
all
right?
I'm only joking.
I'm not. So I, of course, follow you on social media. And I also saw this interview you did in April for a website called Vanyaland.
Mm-hmm.
And during this conversation, they decided to write, in addition to the stage show that Sue does, Costello also has a new TV deal in the works with CBS. And it was her experiences while trying to get her career back on track that have shaped her latest goal in her work, being human, being creative, and owning her art. After a number of uncomfortable encounters with ex-CBS CEO Les Moonves, oh my God, that's a name, and others involved in her negotiation process to bring her upcoming project to production, Costello has made it a point to call to the surface how the abuse that women face in the industry stretches beyond physical and into the territory of intellectual property. In addition to that, she wants to make sure others see there are similarities between the sexual abuse and mental abuse she and countless other women that are part of the Me Too movement have faced.
Well, those were his words about the Me Too movement stuff, but what I said to him, and when he interviewed me with that, I was still figuring out what happened to me with CBS, so I was still coming out of it.
Okay.
So telling the story helps you come out of it. That helps you with anything, even if it's sexual.
Quote, the sex and intellectual property abuse are very similar in terms of how men take from us without our consent.
Yes. Well, I went like four streets beyond the address here today because I was thinking so deeply about, I'm very, very fascinated with this idea of how they somehow make women a whore no matter what. And they somehow engage you in something and take from you, like I said in that interview, against your will. They set you up in a way that you still somehow come out looking like a whore. And if the Me Too movement didn't happen, it shook the ground for me to be able to pull off what I did with my business.
Right.
And what I've felt like during this whole, during the Me Too movement is that they don't necessarily take the women seriously with the sex. The shareholders don't care. They just don't care. They keep burying it. And I lived it for 2 years. I watched. I was like, these guys don't give a fuck. They don't care at all. They're almost worse than they were before the Me Too movement started. And I remember thinking that sex is a tactic. And I said this I did WTF while I was going through all this with Marc Maron. And I said that, and it was so weird how I said it because I didn't even know that Les was being investigated for the sex stuff. And I was in the middle of negotiating my deal while I was talking to Marc.
Right.
So can we remind people about Les Moonves? Because I always can't keep up. Keith keeps up really well and remembers who did what.
He's up there with Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. That's all I need to say. Holy shit.
Ronan Farrow went after him and did two articles about how he sexually, he was allegedly sexually attacked women.
So you were doing a Marc Maron interview on What the Fuck before that came out and you brought up.
I met with Les in July 2017. I emailed him and said, will you meet with me? Because ABC was coming at me for a talk show and all the other networks were coming at me because I was talking about what it's like to be a woman and I wasn't angry on stage about it. They knew. And now it was starting to come to fruition, the sexism and everything. And everybody's like, oh my God, Sue's been around for 30 years. And then all of a sudden it just gave like this extra insight where people were like, oh, Sue must have suffered so much sexism if she's been doing this for 30 years. And then you would go back over my career. I was on Audie Lang's podcast. I was on Tough Crowd. I was with Brewer. I was on Jay Thomas. I've been around. I mean, I was in The Fighter with David O. Russell and Christian Bale. I've been around men my whole career.
Yeah. And definitely when less women were around and less opportunity for women were around. So around 2017, you started getting offers for talk shows based on this,
First of all, back in 1998, Les Moonves gave me my first two TV deals before 98. So then 98 was when Costello came on. So I'm also one of the youngest only women who had their own TV show, which completely was like blown over even in my career. Even when I went to go headline, they had other guys headlining above me. And I'm like, well, why is that guy headlining above me? And they're like, oh, because we base it on credits. And I'm like, credits?
My name's the show. My name is so on the show. The character isn't even my name, and my name's still on the show.
Oh, and I even said that. I wrote an op-ed about everything that's happened to me, and that was another thing that hit me. Now I come full circle. I go back to Les, and now everything's coming full circle to me. And I'm like, oh my God! Even on my TV show, they wouldn't let my name be Sue Costello. They changed it to Murphy, and I'm like, it wasn't Jerry Smith with Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
Like the sexism was so unbearable back then. And I remember going to Stand Up New York. They were having a women's panel about. Women in comedy, and I went there and I raised my hand. I was like, I just came from the front lines. I'm like, the sexism is so bad, we have to address it, or we can't just pretend. I'm like, we have to address it, admit it, and then find a way around it.
So when you had this idea for a show, did you go to Les?
For Costello or for?
For about a couple of years ago.
The new show. I had an idea of a TV show in the back of my head, and back with Costello, I had met with people and they said that I should do a talk show too. And so I was like, I wonder if it's a sitcom or if it's a talk show. ABC, I met with them like 12 times. They wanted me to take over for Katie Couric. They were literally like, and this has always happened to me. They've always known that I had this connection with people is what it is. I'm very human. I'm not Hollywood elite. I'm working class. I'm blue collar. I have my accent. I love people. I'm not a vacation lady. I don't need your money. Fuck off. And what they do is try to trick you into this fantasy of this money. Everybody can be bought. And even when I had my TV show, they used to say to me, like, you want a house, you want a boat, you want this. And I had never been exposed to this level of greed. I was just trying to do my show. I was just trying to do my stand-up. And they were like, you're going to want a house, you're going to want a boat, you're going to want this, you're going to want that. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I just want to do my show.
I'd keep you on longer. I wouldn't have to pay you. You're perfect.
No, they had to pay me because I also negotiated my deal back with Costello. But again, it wasn't about the money.
Right.
I always negotiated based on leverage. My dad was a labor mediator. So he taught me how to negotiate. He was a secretary, treasurer of the Carpenters Union, and then he was a labor mediator. So my whole life, I grew up around negotiating.
So it leads, so you end up getting a meeting with Les Moonves. That's a huge deal. Then this news starts coming out. Are you like, of course, universe, you motherfucker.
No, I'm not joking. So this is what happened. I've had like, so I'm telling you, they've taken my money. They have like tortured me in the stand-up world. Tortured me. No joke. I'm not complaining.
How do you mean taking your money? By not paying you?
So this happened. So they came to me. They wanted me to do this. This is how I ended up with Les. They came to me. They wanted me to do a China tour. A tour in China. I think it was 3 weeks. It was really good money.
Who's there?
Some guy. I did stand up down in the village, and a guy who runs the tours in China came. Okay. He was, I forget what his name was, but he came to me and he's like, Sue, we want you to come headline over in China. I'm a woman. I'm going to go to China by myself. So I go, all right. Then we figure out the money. It's my whole summer, the end of my summer. It's 2017. So the guy emails me. We had just said this off the mic, actually. So the guy about comics being, them projecting that comics are not reliable. So that's where this story came from. So he, I was doing a pilot in LA. I was in Miami doing something else. I was headlining in Boston. So I was traveling all this week. And this guy emails me and he says, Sue, we need your passport. And it was like 3 months before the tour. And I said, okay. I said, my passport expired. As soon as I get back to New York, I'm in Boston, you know, in Boston right now. As soon as I get back to New York, I'm going to get it renewed. And he goes, okay. So this was like Wednesday. And then Friday, he emailed me again. And he's like, Sue, where's your passport? And I was like, this motherfucker. I'm like, how am I going to get, I'm in Boston. And so then I was like, I have to be careful because if this guy's going to push, I have to push him back and see if I can handle it because I'm not going to China if this guy's going to be this aggressive with
right.
me. And so, and same thing happens whenever you stand up to aggressive guys, same exact thing. So I said, dude, I go, I told you. I'm going to be back in New York on Monday. I'm like, we have plenty of time. I go, I'll expedite it. And he's like, well, comics aren't reliable. And I said, can you just respect me until I give you a reason not to be reliable? So then that night I was walking on stage to headline and he sent me an email and he's like, I'm canceling the tour.
Wow.
Oh.
So he literally, I can't even, there has been so many times in my career where it's like you get your insides ripped out of you.
Do you think there's another reason he's not telling you the truth, or is it that simple? It's like, that simple. I don't need a lady tell me.
It's that simple. Huh. I've experienced it. Bill Blumenreich at the Wilbur in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I went to him and I said, I wanted to shoot my special in Boston. I'm from Boston.
Right.
I wanted to pay for it. He said, Sue, it'll be $9,000 a show. You have to do two shows and you can't sell any tickets because you won't sell any. And I had my Wall Street guy. I remember it was like a mafia meeting. I had to swallow how sexist they are in order for me right. to figure out a way around it. And the guy was looking straight forward. I was looking straight forward. I said, tell me what this is. This guy just said this to me. And I told him the $9,000 and you won't be able to sell tickets. And he goes, that guy is willing to ruin his business just to fuck with you because you're a woman. And I remember that same stomach feeling in my stomach dropped. Because I remember they render you powerless. Like, I mean, John Tobin, same thing in Boston. I sold out more than Nick DiPaolo, more than Bobby Kelly. And I stood up for myself because the guy who was emceeing went on after me. And I said, I don't want him going on after me. Never let me work there again. And then I saw him at Brewer's show. This is the other thing they do. Then I saw him at Brewer's show and he's like, hi, Sue. I'm like, no.
Right.
I'm like, no. No, you don't get to say hi to me. No.
Right. And then, now you're having troubles in stand-up.
Yes.
And how does that lead to Les Moonves saying hi?
So things keep happening and I keep going and I remember what I said. I'm like, I have to figure out a way around it. I can't, I'm not a victim. I don't want to go complain. I'm killing. I'm selling out. Al Martin in New York said, Sue, you kill more than anybody who comes in this club and I hesitate to tell you because then you'll be powerful. So I kept hearing it and I'm like, this is really painful. I'm like, this is really what they do to women. I'm like, Sue, face it, face it, face it. And then that day when the guy canceled my tour, I had no money for the summer.
Right.
And I was sitting at my desk in my apartment and I was like, and a voice came down and said, Sue, go see Les Moonves. And I emailed him and I said, will you meet with me? And he said, sure.
Look at that. By the way, little side story. I know more than one club that when I started dating Kyle, didn't give her work because all of a sudden she wasn't an option for the owner to date. And then she's being let back in again. And this has happened to other women.
Yes.
They got a boy.
Stop dating, Keith. Right? It's too much for us.
I'm like, well, wait it out, baby. Come on. That's a business. Guys are insecure.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, and I knew. So then my whole 2 years, I literally did a human forensics accounting on what the sexism is.
Wait,
literally.
Is that why Xerxes took 10 years for us to date?
See?
Fucking cock-blocking bitch, Keith. All right. Sorry. So,
that's all right. So yeah, that literally is what goes on. I mean, nobody's shocked. It's been in the news. It's like it's so crazy to me. It's like it's in the news every other day. So anyway, so I go meet with Les and I'm in the office with him, and I went for advice. I did not go for a show. I went to find out from him because I always knew he believed in me.
Right.
And it's weird. I almost went back to have confront my past too in a weird way. It was like this unconscious, like,
because he had something to do with your first show?
My first two deals.
Okay.
My first two deals, he fucked with my career. So the story comes full circle too. So I went back to meet with him, and I wanted to sit across from him. I wanted to be strong, and I wanted to be able to be like, let's go do real. And I wanted to do business like the boys. That's the truth. I wanted to, and he was a guy, and everybody kept saying, you're going to go meet with God. And I'm like, he's not my God. God's my God. I'm like, why did he let me in his office?
Is God a man though?
I don't know. That's what they thought. That's what I talked about that on the My WTF too. And Mark didn't like that either. I'm like, why is it a white man? Who said that? Oh, be quiet. So he edited me. He edited me. Shit. The whole way that the men the whole year tried to keep me down. I mean, it's like a superhero movie, literally. My friend Jimmy Cummings, who's on City on the Hill, he's like, Sue, you literally swam through the shark's teeth for 2 years. I'm like, I know I did. Because they also underestimated me. Between the classism and the sexism.
Wait, so let's get all right, so I meet with Les, story.
And I go into the office, and I'm going to ask him for advice, and all of a sudden he starts going, how you making a living? 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 How you making a living?
In all fairness, I've heard men speak, and that's really all they say.
Is that trying to get you to, like, cry like it's Goodwill Hunting?
To your most desperate self. He was trying to break me down to my most desperate self. Huh. And I knew it. And I was sitting on he was sitting in his chair, and I was sitting on my couch. I wore a business suit on purpose. I don't know. Why did I know to do that?
Because you can't wear a mustache, you know?
What do you mean? I didn't want to wear my bush out of my robe. No.
That's it. I don't know.
I just knew. I was like, just go in there legit soon. And so
what did you add? Did you ask him anything at this point?
I was like, what the hell's going on? I didn't even know what was going on because he was so crazy asking me how I was making a living. And then I sat in my body, and I was like, I'm going to tell him. I consciously was like, it was like literally like two animals fighting without even any fighting happening. Cause I was like, I'm going to tell him. And I told him I was broke. Most people and most women wouldn't tell people that he was broke. They were broke because they'd be afraid that they would get taken advantage of.
Right.
But then you don't call the question. You don't call what's going on. You have to bring it out in order to fight the fight. Mm. I was literally fighting like a spiritual fight. And so I said, I've been broke. And the other reason why I told him is because I knew he was a failed actor and that he had sold out. And I knew it was going to make him uncomfortable that I was willing to go that far.
You think that would bother him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if he's a billionaire.
Absolutely. Huh. That's what people don't understand.
People are still people.
People are still people. That's how I beat him. I beat him. He went down because I beat him at his
Wait, so person. What happened? You said...
And I'm telling you this in hindsight. I've talked to police. I've talked to New York Times. I've talked to reporters. I've talked to everybody. So by telling you, it's very clear now. But I was not clear when this was all going on. I just knew inside. And so I told him that I was broke, and I didn't ask him for money. That's what he was looking for. He was looking for me to say, can I have some money?
Okay.
Because he told me to film my play. That's what he said to me. He said, film your play. And I just told him I was broke, and that same feeling happened, that same split in my stomach. And I was like, film my play. I'm like, I just told him I don't have any money. And I felt it was like he was breaking me down to my most desperate self, but that old Sue was gone. I didn't ask him for money. I just said, okay. And then he changed his tactic, and then he was like all pleasant. He was like auditioning for me, and then he was like, you're a really good person, and he started acting all weird, and I was like, I'm going to go.
It's funny how petty the monsters are. Roger Ailes, for example, this is reminding me of him, right? How petty that he's got to break down the little people too.
Not only that, the Roger Ailes story they put on Showtime, I watched it. I'm like, thank you for more information about what Les did to me. I'm like, you guys are idiots. So yes, that's how petty they are. And so I didn't know. I just knew that I wanted to leave the room. So I left the room. When I got on the other side of the door, I had this big surge inside of me, and I was like, that felt sexual. But I wasn't conscious of it being sexual. I didn't know if it was power, and I was very proud of myself that I didn't ask him for money.
Right.
And everybody in LA was like, you met with Les Moonves and you didn't ask him for money? And I was like, I didn't go there for money. See how they pervert you right away? Yeah. I was like, I wasn't even asking.
But you didn't go there for, did you say you went there for advice at first?
Whether I should do a sitcom or whether I should do the talk show. But, I wanted to know.
But then quickly it seemed to turn into, you know what? I'm gonna tell you I don't like the way you treated me. Am I catching that right?
I don't know what. Who say that again. That?
Did you went there for advice at first, and then it started getting in, and then it took a turn where all of a sudden. You
but
know,
I didn't know. How would I ever know that CBS would let me go into a room with a guy who was being investigated as a predator? How would I ever even know that?
Right.
I had to make my brain like really crazy and bad to figure it out. I was like,
so when that comes out in the news.
Oh, not only that. So then. I meet with him, and then they fly me out to pitch my show.
Who's they?
CBS.
Okay.
Flies me out in front of every exec, studio, network, everybody. Les is like, Sue, everybody that's important is going to be in that meeting. I have all the emails with me and him.
Right. So did that come from that meeting?
Yeah, because I had a talk show. I mean, I had my sitcom idea in the back of my head, and when I told him, he got really like, because the sitcom idea is really good.
Okay.
And so then, but I didn't realize it. Again, I was just like going in for advice and kind of shooting the shit. Right. I didn't know I was dealing with this kind of level. And imagine 20 years later, he probably got much worse.
Sure.
Than he was the 20 years before. So anyway, so they fly me out there and they like totally try to humiliate you every step of the way. Like Peter Golden, he got fired. He was like, put her in coach. I made them fly me out. I was like, if you want me to come out, fly me out. And they're like, oh, we're not fucking flying you out. I go, bye. Hung up the phone. Called me incessantly. The story's so long, but they sent me to the woman in New York to get reprimanded. She's like, you got to call Peter. My guy friends, because the Me Too movement was starting to happen, my guy friends were starting to wake up and they're like, they're fucking sending you to go talk to a woman to be reprimanded. I go, I know. And I just kept doing everything they told me to do. I kept taking the hits. And then they're like, we'll fly you out. And he's like, put her in coach. And for some reason, that makes the women go absolutely berserk.
Well, I see on social media now, you call it the Sue Costello hit list, right?
Exactly. No, it's not the hit list. It's instead of a sex offender list, it's a Sue offender list.
Sue offender list. Tomorrow, you wrote this yesterday, and it's exciting to be included. Tomorrow begins the press tour all about my at CBS. And you don't mind adding these people.
Mm-mm.
At CBS.
Deal I'm telling the truth.
Right. Starting with Keith and the girl. The op-ed is almost perfect. So you're working on a tell-all, like a written tell-all?
Just I made sure that I wrote it all down clearly so that everybody understands what went on.
And when the perfect time comes, I'm dropping it. All inquiries, email Sue at Sue Costello. Now listen to this little dig. Even at Jezebel, if you want to save face, now is your chance. And Ronan Farrow. Do we like Ronan? I can't tell by this tweet.
No.
And
what Jezebel, happened? No.
What happened with Ronan?
I went to Ronan about the business that was going on and he completely ignored me. The editor responded to me, but he completely ignored me. I'm like, you don't care about women. He just wanted to exploit the women. What happened with the press with the sex stuff is they just kept re-traumatizing the women with the sex. I'm like, you guys you're hurting women more. You just keep telling stories about sex. I'm like, stop it.
What should Ronan have done instead? Because at the time, I thought Ronan was a hero.
He's not a hero. He just made his career off of women's sex.
What was he?
Ronan's is outing these guys.
Oh, okay.
But what good is it doing? Nothing's changing.
But now I know stuff about Les Moonves, and I know like it's sort of like we would have to be in hiding about it. At least somebody is going like, I don't mind saying names. I don't mind saying that this person. And then you have to tell the story. That's what sucks about it is like, if you tell about a childhood trauma, you have to talk about your childhood trauma. I don't know if there's
no, they don't want to talk about business. I'm not talking about childhood trauma. I'm talking about, I did business. I negotiated a TV deal with CBS. That's unprecedented. The WGA helped me and everybody's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, exactly what I'm talking about. So the long story short is I went out there that I had them sign an NDA, which is unheard of. No one's ever had a network sign an NDA.
Usually it's vice versa, obviously.
Yes, right. I, by myself, had the network in the studio, 10 executives in the room. They pushed me around. They fucking shoved contracts in my face. I said, get out of my face. They signed my NDA.
NDA, non-disclosure
to my idea.
Right.
And then I started realizing, oh, my idea is worth a lot of money. Look what they're doing. Look what's going on. Everybody's cutting. Then I tried to get attorneys. I tried to get entertainment attorneys. And the same thing happened. They started acting like animals, cornering me in the room. And I'm like, oh, my God. And so finally, I said, I'm going to negotiate my own TV deal. I mean, I had no idea that the Ronan Farrow article was coming out. So I was fighting
about
a war. Yes, and I was fighting a war that I had no idea that I was fighting. And whether they were out of control, whether they thought I was going to cover for him, that's what I think went on. I think they thought that they were going to get my script. I was going to be indebted to them. I was going to say Les is a good guy against all the women, which was never going to happen.
Is there a thing where you're upset that these articles are written only about sex and you're saying, no, it's also about business. And they go, well, I don't care about the business. I don't care about your ideas. We'll talk about Me Too sex. Is that bothering you?
The LA Times guy literally called me up and he's like, what are your allegations? What are your allegations? What are your allegations? And I was like, dude, stop. I'm like, I don't have allegations. I'm talking about business. I'm talking about being a woman first and then an artist. And he's like, I don't want to talk about that. I go, I'm so sick of the press over-sexualizing women. I'm like, it's not moving us forward. And I go, no one will write a pro-woman story. And my mother pointed it out to me. She said, none of these guys are going to write a pro-woman story because they don't want to be the guy that stands up, helps the woman stand up to the other guys. And I'm like, she's right.
Oh, like all the articles have to be you're a victim.
Oh, my God. And then this other guy, I literally told him what I did. And he goes, I think you really have a good story here. He goes, I think you have to start it with that you're in pain and that you're afraid. I'm like, pain and afraid. I'm like, I just didn't let them fuck me unless Moonves and Peter Golden went down. I'm like, I'm no. But that's what was going on. And then Mark edited the WTF drop the day before the Less article dropped. And Mark edited out all my powerful negotiation stuff and made it sound like I loved Less. So that dropped the day before the Less article dropped. So I signed my deal 2 weeks before that.
But at the time, didn't you like Less? Because at the time you had a different relationship.
I had
with
no
him,
idea.
A
none.
Relationship
no
with him.
Idea. I knew that he was business wise like
shady.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word.
But I came back purposely to not do that again. I already had my own TV show. I already know how it went. So I went back on purpose. And having the ball go into
what
his
was
office.
What was your vibe about Less when you were on Marc Maron? Like, what was your vibe before the editing?
I talked all about how the negotiations, how hard they were and what went on and what it was like to be a woman. And even the LA Times guy is like, you thought you didn't have a choice? I'm like, a choice? I'm like, are you reading the papers? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're raping women every other day. I'm like, a choice? I'm like, no, we don't have a choice. This is how business gets done. You have to push through. And that's what I did. I pushed through the business. I pushed through all of it. I pushed them roughing me up. I pushed through the whole thing. And what happened was I got a side letter that's unprecedented. So I couldn't talk about it because I was under confidentiality. I let the deal expire. I didn't take the dirty money because I knew if I did that, then everybody would see that they weren't honoring the deal. And my gut told me.
So wait, so you turned down you went to make a pilot in LA. And
I didn't make the pilot in
LA. You didn't make the, okay.
I negotiated a deal with them, an unprecedented deal. And then the Less article dropped.
And then you dropped them?
No, when the Less article dropped, in my gut, I was like, they did something dirty with me. And so I waited for 2 months to see if they would come. Logically, a business would come to a woman and say, we don't want you to be nervous. We want to blah, blah, blah. Nobody came to me.
Maybe they got bigger problems too. Do you know what I mean? Quite frankly.
Like what they're dealing with that the people who
they're messing up if they made some mistake and you're allowed to talk about this letter now. I don't know if that's what you're saying or not, but they're probably worrying about their boss is going to jail, so their mind isn't on everything. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess, but that's
no, I'm not on their side at all.
No, that's what it sounds like.
No. No, it's just the process of things.
No, if this whatever happens, sounds like that part is working out in your favor. Yeah, they're like, well, I'm worried about the, Jabba the Hutt going to fucking jail for multiple years. I'm not worried about this. I blew a TV deal.
Like, you think that they're worried about their company going down?
Yeah.
So they're not, like, individually taking care of it.
They're going to drop some things.
But even the way that you're interpreting that is part of the problem.
I don't think so. I'm guessing why I can see that happening. Isn't that good news that happened? Now you're able to talk about a letter?
But I just told you that I negotiated a deal that they were probably going to use to cover for Less. So the chances of them being like, oh, it's not a big deal, are probably not true.
Oh, wait, what's this? I think I'm not following the deal that's going to cover for Less. How does that work?
They were trying. I'm gonna say it again. That's all right. It's very complicated. That's why it's hard to understand, because they were trying to get the script, and then I would have covered for Less, and Less wouldn't have went down. I would have said, Less didn't hurt me in the office. Less is a great guy. Mm-hmm. They would have done my show. So what they were essentially going to do is use like Me Too to cover for him is what happened. And when I didn't fall for what happened and he went down, that's why they didn't want to come near me, because the deal wasn't a real deal. And you just like turned it. I said that it was probably a dirty deal. And you were like, oh, maybe they weren't concerned about it. No, they are concerned about it. That's why they were ignoring me. And then when I called the attorney, the response I got from him was,
oh, I took it as if there was a certain time they had to get back to you, and then you didn't have an NDA anymore, and they didn't get back to you on time.
No. See, no.
Okay.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm missing a lot of words.
I know, because it's very complicated.
Sure.
So I had, because what they did is very complicated. What white collar people do is very, very complicated. There are no fingerprints. It's very, and they want it to be confusing so people can't really understand.
Right.
And they were going down. They weren't paying complete attention to what happened. So essentially what happened was I out-negotiated them. They didn't think that was ever going to happen. They thought, they bet the house that I was going to do what they thought I was going to do. It was almost like he was like drowning and he thought, oh, Sue's going to say, because I remember Peter Golden called me and he's like, Les said, you're never going to believe who just left my office. And I was like, why is he so excited that I left his office? The idea was, we're going to get Sue. Sue's going to cover for me. I'm not going to go down. Because even the board of directors were like, we're not firing Les. We're not firing Les. They weren't going to do it.
What happened today that you had I saw on Twitter, you did another negotiation. You took a picture of a guy, he had a shirt that said Wicked Smart, and you're like,
well, because what I'm doing now is maybe the CBS was a problem and I'm going to go further and get a, maybe right. go, they merging with Viacom. And I'm like, maybe they were a mess. Maybe they didn't, maybe they were doing something shady, but I still want to do my show. I still have the same talent. Sure.
Well, so you wrote, this guy totally let me stop him and take a picture. It's a sign. I just hung up from my dad after telling him how I leveraged myself for an even better deal. I said, Dad, I trusted my gut. He said, it's your street instincts.
Nice.
Is this the deal from before that we were just talking about? Or did
right. Okay. So now they're merging with Viacom. The head of Viacom is taking over the two companies. Sherry okay. Redstone is the boss of both of those. Sherry Redstone is a woman. She's had her issues with these men and the way they've treated her too. So what I'm doing is I'm going beyond that shady, shitty deal. And I'm going big and I'm saying, listen, let's do right. like let's do real business. This is horrible the way they treated me. You don't want people knowing that you're treating women like this. Just stop it.
Right.
The same thing I started went to less for. I've never been off of what I wanted. I wanted to do my TV show. Lawrence Fishburne wanted to take it to ABC.
Oh yeah?
Yes, and I ended up in this mess for 2 years. That's the point. So what happened was once I saw the article came out, I realized they negotiated in bad faith with me and they needed to prove to me that they were going to act in good faith with me and they would not do it.
I'm not saying this, I want to be clear, but is anybody telling you, hey, careful with all the people you're adding? You're really hitting at a lot of people. At WGA East, right? Raiders Guild of America. I said to an attorney there, you pulled me into this. My sister, who's an attorney, came to you for help and you did not help. So this is a union basically, right? She said, I don't agree, said the attorney, the other attorney. It's reality, you cannot agree all you want, but I have a contract. So of course I don't get that fully, but I do get that you're outing people. Is anybody saying you might be ruining things or not?
What would I be ruining?
I don't know. It takes balls to at somebody.
What would I be ruining?
Your career.
How would I ruin my career? They already hide to see your brain. It's like the system gets into the male brain in such a way that...
Well, I'm thinking even to me.
That's what I'm saying. The system's in your brain so much that... This is what I said to my friend this morning. The fear that they fake... This is what the president... This is what goes on in the country. They put a fear inside of you that's not even... You're already being so oppressed and abused and then you're like, I'm afraid. Look what happened to my, you know what?
I understand.
And I'm
that.
Getting the complete opposite of my career, actually. I'm getting more feedback than I've ever Good. Gotten in terms of being successful. So, and I find the men say that to me. The only men say that to me.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Sue, be careful. Sue, be careful. Don't talk.
I'm not even saying that. I'm certainly
but
not saying don't talk.
But yes, you did bring it up.
I would, because I think I would say that to a guy friend too, to be clear. That,
and you said it's your own fear too.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to think if I'm, I've hated people before.
But I don't hate anybody, but you're putting words in my mouth. I didn't hate anybody.
I'm saying me.
Right.
I have. And I still think like, do I want to add this person? What could that lead to? Could it be worse?
It leads to nothing. That's what's so funny.
Right.
It leads to absolutely nothing. It leads to screaming into the abyss. That's what's so funny about fear. I literally feel like I'm breaking the fear barrier. I'm like, everybody's so afraid to do something. And then it takes all you got to do something and then nothing happens. And you're like, oh, and right. you have to do it like 47 million times to get anything done.
I've spoken about people on the show where like, you know, we were cool. And then I specifically said their name and said, we're not cool because of this, that, or the next, because I don't want this thing that I created to continue if it's not actually continuing in real life. And the fear of that, first of all, it felt good because it's just, this is the truth going forward, you know, and I'm just continuing to tell my story like I always do. So it's like you said, it's not a big deal. The shit that happens then is you see them out in the world, of course, because we still work with shitbirds, whether, you know, we want to or not. They're still backstage with us. They're still like in the venue with us. And that's the uncomfortable thing. I'm not saying don't do it because of that.
Uncomfortable at all. I didn't do anything wrong.
And
that's
I love
what's
that.
So cool about it. It's like everybody keeps the brain, the way the brain is systemized or whatever, it goes to the fear. And I'm
no,
like,
but I'll tell you why it was uncomfortable. It wasn't uncomfortable just in my head. It was uncomfortable because these people will, like, they have confronted me. You know, like, oh, I want to talk to you about the thing that you said about me.
But they can't confront me on something that they really did. That's why they're not confronting me. They really did do this. The WGA fired all the agents. They're in big trouble now. This is not me. This is not old school like, oh, be quiet, Sue. This is like, I predicted all this happening. The WGA fired all the agents. I just negotiated my own deal with no agent. I already broke the system. And it's almost like everybody's so in denial that they don't see it happening. So what I'm doing is I don't hate people. I'm not even mad. I want to figure out a way to get done what I set out to get done, which is to make my show without being, which most women in America want to go to work and not be sexually assaulted and not be hijacked and not be pushed around and not be treated like shit. That's all we want. And so that's what I'm doing. And that's why I'm speaking out, because it doesn't even matter about, so if that's not my career, if Hollywood isn't, if that's what they're offering me in Hollywood,
right?
I don't care. I don't need that. So ruining your career, what am I going to ruin?
I get you.
So what if I become somebody who speaks out for women and stands up for the way we're treated, then right. If that becomes my career, so be it.
I agree. I can't wait to hear about these deals in this fucking show.
My show is fucking awesome too. That's the other thing. The script came down within 2 weeks, and that's why. But I think it's because they were so chaotic and they were trying to do one thing. They were trying to use me for one thing that they weren't paying attention. I think they were trying to get everything, to be honest with you.
So what do you want to do with your script now? Because this is a very DIY world, but it also costs money to be DIY.
I'm going to either work it out with Viacom, mm-hmm. or I'm going to just sell it to another network.
Oh, cool.
And by telling the story, I'm going to be able to bring visibility to it. And I'm going to continue to stay on my point, which is I always just wanted to make my show. I could have sued them. I could have done all sorts of crazy stuff. But guess what that does to women too? Then you're stuck suing people and you're not being creative.
What is this tweet? Me thinking men are hurting me, love me is over. What does that mean?
Me thinking that men are hurting me, that they love me, is over. Like Marc Maron, I thought he was a very good friend of mine.
Okay.
What was your relationship with Marc Maron?
I did all the WTFs with him. I've done.
Oh, sorry. In my head, I heard Marky Mark.
Marky Mark.
Oh, Marky Mark. I grew up with Marky Mark. He never hurt me. I grew up with Mark Wahlberg. Yeah. I grew up with the whole family.
It's funny when I go to your Twitter, and you know, you got to take your time with each one of her tweets because you go fast. You're like, wait, you like Marky Mark or don't? Wait, Marc Maron, what?
Marc Maron edited my podcast and said that he didn't edit it. Brendan, that when I went in to meet with Mark, when I did the podcast with Mark, he was so aggressive with me. And I don't know, you have to understand, all this that was going on with me, the Me Too movement was happening like crazy. So all the men were 50,000 times more aggressive than they were normally. So I was doing all this during a time with all these men being even more aggressive because they were terrified.
Like you represent every woman that can get them in trouble.
Yes. And they all kept saying it. They all kept saying, Sue, you're going to take us all down. Sue, you're going to take us all down. And I didn't even know what they were talking about. Right. I was like, I'm not trying to take anybody down. I was literally, so what my story is all I was trying to do was do my show. But because it happened during a time in history when all these men were in trouble, it was like the most disgusting, obstacle course that I had to make it through. And I made it through unscathed. I went into the, whatever that story is, she went into the lion's den and came out unscathed. That's what happened.
But as if, you know what, you would think, if you didn't know better, the men would be a little more withdrawn.
No, they were worse. Quiet. No, they were worse. They were so much worse. That's what freaked me out.
I do get that. Because,
like she's going to go back to the women.
Yes.
Yeah. And say, women, we got to calm down.
Mark was so aggressive with me that I called Brendan afterwards. And I said, Brendan, you have to leave everything that was in that. You have to remember, that's what I meant about the love. Like Les, he did shit early on in my career. So the other thing is, Ileana Douglas is the one that caused Ronan to write the article.
Yes.
I'm the one that took over for Ileana when she got fired.
You just say that last part again?
Ileana Douglas is the one that went to Ronan Farrow.
Right, about Harvey.
About Les. Accusing him of sexually attacking her and then firing her from a job because she wouldn't do what he wanted her to do.
Right.
I'm the one that took over for her when that happened. I had no idea that happened. So emotionally, now you have that on top of what happened to me. Now this article comes out and I'm like, oh my God, this is the second time. I didn't know he did it to me in the past. So it all hit me all at once. And Marc Maron, I went into a hotel room. I did my podcast with him in a hotel room during the Me Too movement.
Right.
I didn't think I've known him for years. He was so aggressive with me that it was like I had to hold my ground so clearly. I didn't even know what I was dealing with. And then afterwards I said to Brendan, you cannot edit that. I'm like, everything that was said in that conversation was because Marc was so aggressive. He said, Sue, we don't edit anything. And then they postponed it and dropped it the day before the Les article happened, and they edited the whole thing. And I went back to Brendan. I said, oh, I guess you changed your mind about editing. He goes, Sue, we don't edit anything. And I said, Brendan, this is gaslighting. I'm like, you guys are literally doing to me what everybody in the press is saying is happening. And then he sent me the unedited version.
Oh, he found it.
He sent, he found it. He sent it to me. And then I'm like,
did you ever post that?
Not yet, because I'm holding on to everything so that when everybody finally gets what I'm saying and stops projecting what they think is happening onto me, then I can finally say, this is what's so weird about it, is even being a woman. I can imagine what it feels like on a rape trial or something where you're trying to say what happened and everybody's like, what did you do? What were you wearing? What were you there? La la la, ba ba ba, cha cha cha. And you're like, what? I was walking down the street. I was doing nothing. And everybody's like, what'd you? Look, go through her past, find her pictures, da da da. And you're like, no, I was just walking down the street. Like, that's what happened to me.
Were you sexually assaulted or harassed? Of course, harassed, at least, I assume. And then, but it's, you're nervous to be specific about that because you don't want it to be about sex again? Mm-hmm. No?
No, that's what's so weird is that, so that on the Marc Maron, so I'm in the middle of this, Les has all the sex stuff going. I literally, Marc says to me, I say, oh, they've taken my money, they've grabbed my ass. And Marc says to me, have you ever been assaulted? And it was so weird. I stopped, I paused, and I said, grabbing my ass is an assault.
Right.
First of all, and all the girls were like, they were so mad. And I'm like, you can't get mad. You can't. If I got mad with him, then guess what? Everybody would be like, oh, Sue's a bitch.
Right.
They didn't see what he was doing to me in that interview. They only hear what's coming out of the interview. So I had to hold on to myself. And then I said, do you mean have I ever been raped? And he said, yes. And I said, no, I have never been raped. So I felt, because I don't have the depths of that pain, that it was my duty to go in and do a human forensics accounting for all the women. I had no idea that that was going on with Les, and that's exactly what I did.
Right.
Like by saying you weren't raped, it means nothing happened?
I wasn't being re-traumatized. Even from my past, I wasn't raped. So I wasn't being re-traumatized by all this. So I was like, I have to do this for all the women that have been hurt. I heard so many women tell their stories. I was like, I have to do it because it's not re-traumatizing me.
I think like grabbing ass, that's, the line is crossed. Like,
yeah, that's his
own. Yeah, well, Jackie Martlin grabbed Hemda's ass at rehearsals for a show. And so we, you know, it's like, well, that's it. This half a friendship is over. You know, he'd call in, he'd do one of his dirty jokes, and we'd pretend he has to go real quick, and we thought it was goofy. But now it's like, no, that's the end of it. And I was amazed by the number of people being like, but did blah, blah, blah happen with this ass? Well, do you guys have that kind of rapport? And it's like, oh, it has to be a rape?
There's also, and
it's an ass grab.
Somebody even said like, oh, then why did, if he's so bad, why did you introduce him to Andrea to put him on like that show? Why are you passing along? Like, and I was like, you know what? I was playing ball and
with the little, when he would do this old man flirting before the ass grab.
I'm like, you know what? I saw it as nothing, but he kept like kind of, you know, you get pushed a little bit more. And I thought the ass grabbing and like there was something else that day. He like insulted me in front of, you know, people that I work with and that I want to continue working with. And I cried as soon as I left the venue. And it's like, yeah, I used to work with him. Now I don't want to. And here's why. So why do I have to now protect what I did in the past?
You don't have to. You don't have to at all. Because I'll tell you why. Because if you stand up for yourself as a woman, you get retaliated against in such a way that you could probably have a nervous breakdown if you don't have the mental constitution to go through what I went through. And that's what I can speak for every woman now and say, they try to make you have a nervous breakdown. The guy from the WGA, I went to a symposium. The WGA is our Writers Guild.
Right.
They helped me negotiate my deal. So I'm not calling him out. I'm saying the truth. I went to a women's symposium where they said the women in the workplace, safety for women. I'm at a symposium for safety of women in the workplace. And they're all talking about what's going on. And I raise my hand. I say, I have a deal with CBS. And they I think they didn't negotiate it in bad faith with me. It's with Les Moonves and I need help. Can somebody help me? And the guy from the WGA cornered me and he said, Sue, I heard you on Marc Maron. He brought that up first. And he said, maybe CBS doesn't want a show about a woman who's strong. I bet you this is happening to a lot of women. And when I left that room, I called my girlfriend and she said, Sue, he cornered you so those women couldn't get to you. And I was like, oh my God, this is really bad what these women, what these men are doing. And to speak to the men, the guys jumping the fence, the whole thing, they called me about Louis, the New York Times did.
Sure.
And I was like, can we balance this out? Can we talk about a woman who could have success equal to Louis but doesn't? Then I'll talk about that's not the story we want. So the press reframing this over and over again and taking people down, I don't know how much that is conducive to progress if women are not able to. Who's in charge of what comes out of the TV? I watched two shows on HBO last night. I watched Succession and I watched the new Catholic show. And both of the shows have the daughters that of the fathers that they can't be in the business because they're women. And I'm like, okay, who's putting this on TV? Women are getting messages over and over and over again. And I have a show that's pro-women. I negotiated my own deal doing one of the biggest women's movements ever. It has, I can't even tell you what it is. They told me that I was going to get paid $50,000 an episode. And right. In my head, I was like, okay, they're greedy. They're going to pay attention to the money. In my side letter, I negotiated that nobody can get paid more than me.
Okay.
Right. That means a huge man could come on my show with a huge salary and he cannot get paid more than me. I did that during a women's movement, and nobody can hear me because they're so busy with the sex and being afraid. Right. And I already did it. And the WGA fired the agents. I already did it. So it's not like I'm calling people up. I'm not hating people. I'm just saying, I feel like Moses, like, locusts are coming. And then the locusts come and then. And then everybody's like, Sue, stop saying that. I'm like, but I'm not trying. But and the attorney said to me, he said, Sue, CBS was in such flux and did such bad stuff that they were guilty. They couldn't hear what you were saying.
Right.
So in that sense, with men, I do think we need to talk to men. I don't think we should hurt. I think men don't know their place anymore. And I don't think that we should discard men. I mean, a girl attacked me on stage when I was talking about Louis, about the press coming at me. And she was like, he did it. I was like, okay. She attacked me. And I'm like, I'm a woman. And then I was like, well, what about his daughters? And she's like, fuck his daughter. I'm like, okay. Right. No. So
I see your face light up, or not light up, your head was about to explode, it seemed, when I brought up Jackie Marlick. Was it Jackie specifically, or just dealing with these ass grabbers? No, I was thinking about
Jackie when Jackie tried to steal a show. I was doing the show at Barn. He's like, I created this amazing storytelling event, and he was on it. And he was like, Sue, I want to go meet the guy who owned Barney's, is my friend. And so he's like, I want to go meet with him to be on the show. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I need him. I just pulled off the show myself. And then my friend from Boston called me. He's like, Jackie Motley's trying to get in the back door and steal your show. And I called Jackie and I was like, Jackie, I was like, don't fuck with me. And he literally was like, oh, I can't believe you said don't fuck with me. I can't believe you swore at me. And he hung up the phone and sent me like a 7-page email. And I was like, yeah.
He loves the 7-page email.
Because it's talking to you, not with you.
Well, I remember one of his long fucking emails after I called him out on the show. He was like, and I'm on vacation and you're ruining it. I'm like, so sorry. I'm working. And fuck yourself where you are. I don't know. I'm on vacation and you're ruining it.
So things are changing. And the men are mad. And they're still changing. You can't. So I'm like, I have compassion about that too. I'm like, I understand, but I'm not stopping. And not only that, what I've been able to do over the past 2 years is see how much progress I made. I made them sign an NDA. I went to an attorney.
Right.
And he was like, I'll be a consigliere, Sue. I'll be a consigliere. And I'm like, is this fucking real?
He's putting on brass knuckles.
This is what he's telling me. And then he goes, I tell him and I go, so I had CBS sign an NDA and his whole head almost exploded. And he goes,
I would have told you you couldn't do that.
And I was like, these guys all think they're my father? I'm like, I already did it. I literally have a show and a movie. And my TV show is all about this too. My TV show is all about the hilarity of what happens if a woman gets a little power and what goes on. And it's hilarious and it's loving and it's not mean. And it's like, look how hard I've had to fight to get have everybody hear me say, I'm not trying to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. And they're like, what? Why aren't you trying to hurt me? I was awful to you. I'm like, because that's not who I am.
How do I get this op-ed? Where the fuck is it?
Oh, I'm dropping it.
Come on, drop it. What do you mean?
My cop friend helped me with it. He was the one that helped me the most. I had my friend who was a New York Times documentarian who helped me do like the proper like, and then my cop friend's a guy and I was like, I got to let him read. He goes, oh, I understand what was going on. This is what was going on. And he helped me really write it down. And then I sent it to my like regular guy friend and he helped me like make it sure that the regular people can understand. What I did was awesome. I beat the guys. They were trying to fuck me and I fucked them is what happened. That's the story. And I did it with love. I didn't hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody. Yeah. I don't want to hurt the WGA. I don't want to hurt anybody. I want them to stop hurting people.
I think I feel like you're saying, hey, everybody, you calm down. Don't tell me what I'm thinking. Then I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Just tell us what you're thinking.
I'm telling you what I'm thinking.
We got to keep guessing. I want this op-ed and I want it out by Thursday.
All I have to do is consistently keep of character who I am and not let people tell me who I am. And that's what took over for the 2 years. I mean, they were literally trying to pull me into their disgust is what happened.
Right.
And I was like, not today. I already went down there. I already had a show called Costello, and you made me be Murphy.
Hey, by the way.
Maybe they just like the way you say Murphy.
Murphy.
You recorded 8 episodes of that. 4 aired. How do we see the other 4?
You know what's so interesting? I'm like, oh, you know what's going to happen now? they're going to air Costello again. Well, I watched the dentist episode the other day, and I'm like, this is literally reflecting what's going on in the country. I'm like, I've been talking, and the, you know how when people
go. Do they have to change the laughter in a little bit? Because in that dentist episode, for example, the character doesn't have money. Somebody says, why don't you go to Harvard and have one of those kids work on your tooth? And she's like, yeah, it makes me pass out so he can feel me up. And the audience laughs. Well, that would be a little different. Do they keep in the laughter?
Yes. Okay. I'll keep it exactly the way it is because I was already speaking what was to come.
How do we find the episodes now?
Well, it's on YouTube, but I'm probably not supposed to have it on there. But I have a feeling, like the other day, I was like, oh my God, they're going to put Costello on somewhere because I was talking about the disenfranchised white middle class working man back with Costello. I said on Adi Lang. Adi's like, Sue, do you think when Trump started saying he was going to run for president, like there were rumblings? And he's like, Sue, what do you think? And I'm like, I think he could become president at least fiscally. And they screamed at me. And I'm like, everybody's been screaming at me my whole career, telling me to shut up. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, and the bartender at Stand Up New York, I went in one day night and he's like, Sue, you predicted this. I'm like, I know. I've been predicting everything. I even predicted CBS. I told the lady, I said, if you don't do my deal on the up and up, everything's going to crumble.
More importantly, why are they asking you questions and yelling at you? I hate those fucking trick questions.
Everybody does this to me all the time. So what do you think? And then I tell them and they go, we don't want to hear that. And I go, well, too bad. I'm telling the truth now.
Do you want hamburgers or tacos? Tacos. Tacos?
What's wrong with you, ma'am?
Just looking at these tweets real quick. Oh, hi, at Elaine Boozler. Hi, perfect timing. Wait till you see what I did for us ladies and artists alike. Well, we're ready.
Just followed me. They're all following me. Everybody's retweeting me. They're because what's happening is I'm also becoming like this social person. Like what I did with CBS was I went in and saw how regular people get treated every day of their lives. And I did not take the money. That's the biggest thing I did. I thought I was going to die not taking the money. Because what they do is they promise you the American dream. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to do this. And meanwhile, they're screwing you from behind. And that's what I was like. I had to let go of that fantasy of maybe and hope that I could go bigger. And that's what I'm doing. I'm breaking through the fear barrier. I'm like, what am I afraid
of? Ma'am, I follow.
They've already literally take the China toll was taken, everything. Right. And I've never crumbled. So what happens if I go all the way? And as a woman, what I'm realizing is my weakness was that I thought somebody was going to come in and save me. And the thing with CBS and going to Viacom and going beyond all of it and showing them who I really am, I'm like, oh, this is the first time in my life I'm not sitting at home going, somebody will figure it out. Somebody will care. Somebody will see what happened. It's the first time. I'm going against what women usually do. I'm just saying no. And I'm not trying to hurt. And everybody's like, oh, Sue, you're not doing this for attention. You're not doing this for money. It's taking people like, it's like Marblehead. Like they're like, and I'm like, no, I just want to make my show. It's so bizarre.
One more real quick. Sue wrote, this is everyone when they finally hear what I did with CBS. Also the head attorney at Viacom while speaking with me today. Spell it right, people. SueCostello.
Well, because she was like, what? I'm like, yeah, this is what went on. And I think it is classism too, because I don't think that, I mean, I've had people interview me and they're like, Sue, what level of education do you have? And I'm like, do you ask Steve Jobs that?
Right. Well, no, they can't ask him that.
And what's his name? Bill Gates. They all dropped out of college.
Bill Gates, you can ask.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Sure, of course.
They're saying it because I'm a woman.
Right.
And the classism is like, and like one guy was like, the reason why I didn't have an agent was or an attorney when I negotiated my deal was because the agents were in bed with the private equity firms. And I already knew that. I didn't want an agent because, and then guess what? That's why the WGA fired all the agents because of the conflict of interest with private equities. And I already told them that. I already said it. I already saw it years before. And everybody's like, Sue, how do you know what private equity firms are? And I'm like, the bias is so deep in people's head that they're not even seeing what I'm doing. So that being said, I already made great progress with my CBS deal. I'm not complaining. I already had them sign an NDA. I already negotiated an unprecedented deal and I'm going to keep moving forward. And this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like to affect change.
Are you dating now? I ask because I'm curious if you have a boyfriend that is supportive in the right way. After seeing The Loudest Voice, I'm seeing Gretchen Carlson's boyfriend, and he eventually comes around, but I'm like, what a shithead.
I wouldn't have taken the money if I was Gretchen.
Right.
What money did she take?
She took the settlement, and then she had to sign the NDA, and then she can never talk, and I think...
$20 million, but thank God, somehow, somebody told Showtime the story. Right. So she got $20 million, and now I know what happened. But now Roger's
still
dead.
Can't talk, and she can't. And there's something about what they do. And that so the pension fund with CBS, they're doing a class action lawsuit, and the pension fund is trying to get them to stop being able to do these NDAs with women. because they literally ruin your career, and then the women have to take the money. I don't have kids or a husband. That's where I'm lucky. I don't have a husband that has a big job that I have to worry about them. I don't have anything. I'm poor. I have no money. I have nothing. What are you going to do? So no, I don't have a boyfriend. But the funny part, what I'm realizing is the other lie that they told us is that men don't like strong women. I've had more guys ask me out recently than I've had in my entire life. There's something about men don't, I always say this about dating. Men will test you, and they'll say in the back of their head, don't let me disrespect you so I can fall in love with you. It's the same thing that happened with CBS. It's the same thing that's happening in business with me. I had this guy, I performed for millionaires up in Toronto. I've been doing this, perform for them. They told us, be dirty. It was all men, me and this other girl. Performing, be dirty. And in my head, I'm thinking, I'm not going to be dirty. I'm like, we're not strippers and that won't work. So I went on first. I killed. The girl went on after me. She was dirty. It was not good. And then sure enough, they didn't even look at her afterwards. And I was like, oh, this is how they treat us, like a whore. Right. You don't necessarily have to have sex, but they discard you. And then they were like, the deal was that they were supposed to, get us back to the airport. And they were like, the guy was like, Sue, they're not going to drive you back to the airport. I go, good. Where's the money for the ride? And the guy showed up and gave us $500 extra each cash. And the girl's like, Sue, how'd you do that? I'm like, I asked. I'm like, how'd you meet with Les Moonves? I asked. They put me in the Daily Mirror with Lawrence Fishburne the night of my meeting with CBS. I met with Lawrence Fishburne. Literally, I had Morpheus telling me how to stay out of the system. And they put in the tabloids that I was the mystery woman, like a whore.
Right.
And I called them and I said, take that down. And then everybody, I remember the comedy club owners were like, how'd you do that? I'm like, I asked them. So I'm learning as a woman to just ask. I feel like this thing has gone on where women, guys are like, oh, stop being like a smothering mother type person. And then all of a sudden I'm not doing it. And guys are like, I like this. And I'm like, oh, that was a lie too that they taught us.
Right.
Nobody's coming to save me. And guys like, I mean, this guy from Toronto, he's executive producing a film that's going to be an Oscar contender. He called me the other day.
I love Oscars.
Sue, I want you to come meet with the guy, the head of Vice. We want to know what you're doing. You're disrupting the industry. We want to talk to you. And I'm like, oh. And then this other guy calls me the other day. He's like, Sue, I'm going to offer you the part in my movie. I'm like, oh. So no, I'm not afraid. I'm like, my career's getting good. Better.
Well, I follow Sue. Andrea, after you edit this a little bit, it's going to be exciting for people. Sue Costello.
Make sure you make me sound like a mousy ma'am.
The following people I like. CBS. Mark Maron.
I love them. No, and I could see Mark in 5 seconds. And that's the thing about me is that I don't even get mad. I just know that I would see him and be like, stop it, Mark. I know what you did and I'm not fucking around.
Right. Sue Costello on Twitter. Instagram is I am Sue Costello. And the website, SueCostello.com. And you follow this social media, you're going to get that fucking op-ed, whether you like it or not. And in the meantime, I'm going to be setting things on fire.
Sue, and my show is about coming together, bringing the country together. It's about goodness. It's not disgusting. It's not fighting. It's not sex.
Where do I see this show? No sex? What? Okay, no where sex. Do I see it anyway?
It's pure.
Well, she's still,
I'm going to sell it. I'm either going to do it with Viacom or I'm going to sell it somewhere else.
I was trying to trick her. I thought she'd do all the episodes.
Do you
right
want
now.
Me to act out the episodes right now, please?
Sue, always a pleasure. Yeah.
You guys are awesome. Thank you for letting me talk. You guys are the first stop on the press tour.
That's what I heard. Yeah. There better not be more dirt on the second stop.
I wonder if there is. There's no dirt. Everybody see you still like, is there sex? There's no sex. An attorney called me and he's like, Sue, do you have sex in your story? Do you have sex in your story? Because sex makes a lot of money. Those women are getting $31 million. Do you have sex in your story? I like money. And I go, fuck you. I go, fuck off. And he goes, I like you. You have chutzpah. And then he hangs up and I email him. I go, thanks for the call. I go, next time I get fucked, I'll call you. And he's like, that's not funny, Sue.
Would it be selling out if you have your op-ed piece, but the title is How My Ass Was Grabbed?
How about, how does my ass still look good? I hope you still think I'm sexy.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks for spreading the word. We'll talk to you soon. KeithAndTheGirl.com.